Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast today is September 17th?
It is the fucking 21st of September.
It is? Oh, damn.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did see that on the news this morning, the Earth and the Fire thing. That's right.
Damn. Do you know what day of the week it is? Just out of curiosity. Like,
I do now, but early I didn't, because I was talking to somebody and I was like, I was talking to my artist and she does vocal lessons on Wednesdays. I said, what time you got the vocal lessons today? And she was like, it's Tuesday. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's probably why he dropped that question mark. We were in the chat talking about today earlier, and Jeffrey, you probably know what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm. I was here. Bro, you back?
Yeah, man.
I'm a matter of fact, before we even get into the topics of the shower, like, we jumping right into the safari, bro. What's going on? We need to hear about the safari.
So we went to, I was in South Africa. We went to Cape Town first, which is mostly a coastal town.
Miami vibes.
Very, very Miami looks, very Miami chic. What I realized is that there's not a lot of things that were like specifically South African, so to speak, right? Like they weren't like unique things. I think there's probably,
I got you.
Listen, there's clearly a culture. I'm not saying that. I'm talking
about, honestly saying that you could took a picture and you could have been in Greece or
you could have been very metropolitan.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, this is a beach type of vibe.
Which, as you guys know, I've always said, I don't mind. I like metropolitan places. I like cities. So it was beautiful. We had the gentleman who picked us up, Marcus, was excellent at sort of, you know, talking about the wildlife and the water and, you know, just kind of giving us that full experience. And then we took a couple of days and went to Joburg in between the trip to Johannesburg.
How long is that from Cape Town?
It's like going from here to Atlanta. It's like a
2 hour.
Yeah, it's like an hour and 45-minute flight, right?
Okay,
like
it's
not a big to-do.
Okay, okay.
So you go in, you know, we went in. It was great. You know, listen, I'm still of the mindset that these are wild animals.
Right? Yeah, they are. Right?
They're caged. I understand that they're mad cool.
And yeah, but still.
And they vibing. Right,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like, yeah, shit could still go bad,
yeah,
because they animals.
Exactly.
So, you know, it took me a minute to get out of the car, but, you know, I got out of the car. I was close enough for me. Now, all the way zoomed in on my camera. I couldn't zoom no more. But to give you some perspective, I'm as close as I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm a get.
I needed to know that, okay. I mean, because what you really don't grasp from picture, I mean, obviously from great pictures, you can kind of see the majestic animal, right? But like seeing an animal like up close and seeing their muscles
and their size,
just knowing if this animal snaps right now,
it's over.
I'm done, my nigga. I am done. It is dropped down to my knees. And start asking, trying to get my life in order, hand my life over to Christ within these 15 seconds I got.
Because it's over.
It's night-night. It's night-night. Yeah.
And again, so, like you said, people don't, I mean, I've never been on a safari, but, you know, I used to go to the zoo pretty often when Julian was young. And people, when you watch Natural Geographic or, you know, whatever shows on TV about animals, you don't really kind of understand the size, how big they are. It's like, fucking lions are fucking huge, though.
Well, we didn't see the lions, but we heard them because we were there very early in the morning.
Okay.
We were there very early. So we got, and I'm not completely versed, so forgive me if I do make an error in what I'm calling these things, but we weren't necessarily on a safari as much as we were on a reserve. So I've been through a safari where it's like, it's gated. There are still, there's like a technical way you kind of go around it. You know what I'm saying? And this was
like a
just,
path kind of.
Yeah. Yes, this was more of, it isn't closed, but it's still just, it's massive, right? So you know, I'm thinking we're going to be in the Land Rover, you know, and what we would normally think of a safari. But this seemed more like a reserve, like there were people out there tending to the animals on a regular basis. Like the giraffes never came out because they were just like, we good, my nigga.
I'm chilling.
We good where we at. They bought them food. Tried to lure them out to but they were just like, nah.
Yeah.
So but it was great though. It was fascinating to see those landscapes. It was incredible to just sort of watch the sunrise. It was well worth getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Now how is Joburg as a city? I hear it's very you know, cosmopolitan, and it's like they got all the fly shit, like the dope restaurants and the dope, you know, whatever you want to do.
It is. We didn't spend a lot of time in Joburg this trip, but I have been to Joburg before where I think I spoke to you guys. I think I might have stayed in the nicest hotel suite I've ever stayed in my life. It was, it was like 2,400 square feet, marble floors. There was a fucking sauna in the bathroom. It was the most amazing hotel room I'd ever seen. It was like a penthouse in New York, straight up.
Wow.
It's absolutely all of those things. And again, you know, great people, great hospitality. It's very easy because, you know, you know, a lot of people speak English, right? So like communication is very, very, it's very easy.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a great experience. It's obviously a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very long trip. It could be taxing on you, jet lag wise, but just also like mentally, like you're literally in air for 24 hours.
That's a long time.
That's not counting any layovers you have. And the layover usually could be 2 hours, 5 hours, you know, whatever.
So when you got home, did you go directly to Kennedy Fried Chicken or did you stop?
I said, look, man, y'all go get me some Lay's, okay? grab some watermelon, okay? Get some of the shit that I like.
All the nigga shit.
All my shit that I like in the house, y'all make sure it's there when I pull in. So they took care of me, man.
They made sure
I was good.
Good. How's y'all doing, Naeem and Inka?
I'm good. I overslept like a mug this morning, so I'm like the last person in the drop off line.
Oh, you was the last person in the line.
I was the last person in line, but we made it. I mean,
you made it. As long as you made it, it don't matter.
Do y'all have does she get penalized or she can't go after a certain time if she's so late?
So she has to be there by 8, but they start the morning meeting at 8:30 and the teacher doesn't unlock the door during the morning meeting.
Okay.
So if you're not there, you got to wait till after that. And then it's kind of no point because she's only there till for 3 hours anyway.
Yes, yeah, she'd have missed too much if you missed if you locked the door. Okay.
But we got there at 8:10. I woke up at 7:42. We got there at 8:10. I feel like I did a good job.
You did a good job. You did a great job. You did a great job.
Teeth brushed and all that, but she's starving. It's gonna be okay.
She'll be all right. She sound good in the background. It's like she's happy. She's fine.
She's straight.
What about you now? You good?
I'm good. I am going off less sleep than usual because for some reason I had the bright idea to create a Twitter poll version of what a Jermaine
Saw that
and Puff versus could look like at
11
o'clock last night. But I'll talk about that when we get to that.
All right, cool.
I think you just really love to, like, I don't know. You
I'm
have
not
a tired. Way of getting the people riled up on
getting the
people
gets the people going like Will Ferrell says, it's provocative. Gets the people going.
Gets the people going. Yo, they've been in my mentions. And most it's funny, but I'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
Okay.
I got two little gripes. They ain't big gripes. They got two little gripes. So I mentioned last week that Nelly got the meal at Burger King.
Yeah, there's a few people who
have the Cornell Hayes Jr. meal.
Uh-huh.
It's my issue with your meal, Nelly. It's a Whopper with cheese, fries, and drink. What the fuck is that? That's everybody's meal, nigga. That's everybody's meal, nigga.
How you got beef with Nelly and not with Burger King?
Because Nelly, I'm assuming Nelly was on some Zoom at some point and said, "This is what I want my meal to be."
What would you have preferred? You wanted to be?
I just wanted the nigga to do something different. Like, nigga, that's anybody's meal, nigga. Whopper with cheese, fries, and a Coke.
The last three McDonald's meals have been just like that. I feel like Travis Scott's was a double cheeseburger and nuggets. Like, who goes to McDonald's and doesn't add the nuggets?
Yeah, it's supposed to be your favorite meal.
I'm just saying.
You're not going to eat it anyway.
I'm not eating that shit anyway. But I'm just saying, like, nigga, like, do like a Whopper and then put some fries on top of the Whopper. Just do some shit that's why I respect Sweetie. Do some shit
that's going to be harder for people to make quickly because it has to be special.
Okay, but that's why I respect Sweetie shit. At least it's a little different. Like, nigga, that's just basic. That's like. I think Sweetie got some. I think Sweetie shit is some nasty shit. Like, she did something nasty. But
right.
But I said
it's literally a Big Mac with fries and nuggets and sweet and sour sauce.
Well, there you go, sweet and sour sauce on the burger
in the packet on the side. Okay.
Well, Sweetie, you capping too. But what I'm just saying, like, nigga, if I ever get a meal, which I never will, I never will. But I'm gonna do some different shit. Like put some fucking hot sauce on my something, niggas. Like,
you have to be realistic. It's a fast food restaurant. Niggas ain't waiting for you to custom order their fucking burger.
I guess that's why I ain't gonna get a meal. I'm gonna make it hard. I'm gonna make it hard on these niggas.
Ain't no hot sauce at Burger King.
There's gonna be if it's my meal.
Lord.
Shit.
It's violent, second. Gentlemen.
Yeah, this is me.
You will not be seeing the Jeffrey Sledge anything.
Exactly. The second thing I got
was a vegan cheese steak.
Yeah, exactly, like a vegan cheese steak. Vegan chicken nuggets. The second thing I got, and this is a social media thing, and this has been irking me for a minute now. So, like, every now and again on social media, you'll see, like, a person, hey, Ivy, a person with gray hair, or like a dude and or a lady or a girl and her mom, a dude and his mom, a dude and her dad, whatever, doing like, oh, look at my mom dancing. Like, I don't understand this shit. It's like, yo, your mom's not 95. Your mom's 43. So yes, you can fucking dance. But they be acting like, yo, my mom is doing the dances. Nigga, your mom's 41.
Jeff, your mom's 41. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I feel great. I'm just getting this shit off my chest.
But Jeffrey, I think when you hit your 40s, you understand that. Like, I probably said this on the show before. My dad used to say youth is wasted on the young. And I never understood what that meant. And there are certain things that once you get to a certain age, you just look at people who are younger than you and you'd be like, you just got to get here. So you can tell them 40 ain't old. Every time somebody be like 50, where? And I'm like, how old do y'all think? And granted, like, I sent my mom a picture of my grandmother and my cousin. And my mom still runs with my cousin's daughter. Like, they're the same generation. And I was like, you and Glenny are older than Grandma and Lil in this picture. And they both, and like, if I put a picture of them today where they're a good 5 or more years older than these women in this picture, mm-hmm. you would assume the women in the picture are 10 years older than my mom and my aunt. So, like, the aging is... You know,
I'm just saying that it irks me.
People have no concept of age.
It's irksome to me that your mom is 37 and you're shocked that she can still do a two-step.
Because it's your mom.
She's 37. Stop, nigga.
You don't understand your mom as an adult until you're like in your mid-20s. You don't understand your parents as adults.
As people.
Your own right.
You know, they got the fucking shaker dance. I'm like, nigga, you're just shaking your hands, nigga. It's not that. It's not hard. You don't
really understand parents in their own right with their own shit until this
nigga is living.
because we gotta get Jeff some breakfast.
This
is really about Jeff's hair because he's like, y'all bugging out over these people,
it ain't that. It's just like, nigga, your mom is 34. Why are you stunned that she has rhythm? She's 34, nigga. She had you when she was 16. You're 22. She's 34. And you're it's goofy, nigga. I guess if your mom was 80, like there's a, I posted a clip quite a while ago of these two, a couple dancing, and they probably definitely at least their 70s or 80s, and they look great. That I get. Your mom is 36.
They don't know you don't have a perspective. That's all it is.
Nigga said your mama was born in 84. Nigga.
Yeah, what are we talking about, nigga? Your mom, what are we talking about? Your mom with the...
But these kids have no... They have no...
Your mom got the Drake album in the car. Stop
because
it.
The other problem is... Well, I mean, because I remember being in high school and my friend's mom was 32. But we were amazed because she was out at the club every goddamn weekend, and we thought that was a big old deal. I understand now, like, she was young as shit because we were in high school.
When but I came downstairs,
my mama be outside.
Listen, the first time I saw my mom dressed in a full red leather outfit to go out when she was 33, it blew my mind because I was like, you can't wear that. Where are you going?
Yeah,
like,
it's not okay.
And she's like, I'm 33. I'm going to the club, and it's about to be popping.
Right, and so even though I knew 32 was a young mom for me to be in high school, I still was like, it was still like, oh, Tamika's mom is the cool mom because she'd be in the streets every weekend in the club. And once I hit 32, I was like, well, goddamn, of course she was outside.
Yeah, but this is, but most of the kids I'm talking about posting shit are not high school kids. These kids are like in their 20s. Yeah,
but that so TikTok like, nigga, dance that you're talking about,
the shake of like hands thing,
the first one that's easy enough for like me to do. So yeah, I'm gonna have my mom out here doing this shit. She can't do that renegade one.
Y'all niggas need to figure out
do this one.
You niggas need to figure out your mom is 36. She's still getting dick down. She's taking edibles. She's going to the Essence Fest and meeting. Like, stop it. Your mom is not a fucking old maid.
Well, the other
she
is to them. But the other problem is, you know, people go great. We're responsible for this on the other side too, right? Because there is this trend of people who will be in their 40s and gray. Or in their early 50s in gray.
Mm-hmm.
And we automatically be like, look at the fly,
granddaddy. The OG,
whatever. So we perpetuate that shit too on our side. 100%.
That's right, because that lady on TikTok told you she ain't nobody grandma. You made that apparently clear.
Very clear. I'm out here and I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm just that irks me. Anyway, let's move on. Peace to Malika Andrews, who is now the new host of The Jump, which is the NBA show on ESPN. She's basically cleared Rachel Nichols off the network. You know, she's like every job that Rachel Nichols had now is Malika Andrews' job. I don't know what Rachel Nichols is going to do. I mean, I'm sure she'll be fine.
Rachel's arc was crazy. That whole thing was crazy.
Crazy. And it happened quick.
Listen, congratulations to her, but I also think that this is great for Rachel. I think that there was no way for her to survive in those spaces there. She needs to just kind of maybe take a step back for a minute, let this die down, let people kind of forget about this situation and maybe move to another space in her career. I mean, she's under contract, right? So it's not like she ain't get paid.
Oh, she's fine.
The first and the 15th are the same. You know, and
the direct deposit is good.
Yeah, so you know she'll be fine. Obviously, she's in a really weird position because she's also an older woman in a very young person's game, and so that layoff has to be, it's like double dutch. Like you really got to know when to jump back in.
Yeah.
If you wait just a little too long, you know, it's a wrap. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be doing 2020 specials.
Yeah.
You know, or on Sunday morning news.
You're going to be on ID channel. The host is snapped.
Yeah. Autopsy or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to mention Reservation Dogs. I've talked about several times on the show. They had the finale this week. And the finale was awesome. Opened up some shit, but definitely, you know, kind of closed some shit too. It's just a great show. You know, if you haven't watched it, you should check it out. It's a great show. That's all. I just want to mention that. Bro, let's talk about this Lil Baby watch situation.
Yeah. So, little baby. I think that little baby is the one we all like collectively.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Right? Yeah. He's collected. Okay. So little baby purchased a watch, a Patek Philippe, a Nautilus 40th anniversary watch for $400,000.
Estimated. I don't think he said that. The fake watch guessed that. Or did
No. He paid that.
Oh, okay. I saw in the post where they said he probably paid this for it. I didn't know.
He confirmed. They. Okay, let me just say this to clarify. There was no distinction when that number was thrown out by him or the person who sold him the watch. Mm-hmm. And it was understood that that was a $400,000 transaction.
Yep.
Okay. I've said this many times on the show that a lot of these niggas is buying fake jewelry.
Absolutely.
Okay. And a big part of that is.
Oh, wait. Can I interrupt, Sean, just to say, sure. I think an important thing, and you've said this before too, is to emphasize that they're unknowingly, because I think there are some people who think that folks are buying knockoffs on purpose. Because they can't afford the real.
I think a lot of these niggas is buying them on purpose.
Maybe, but they're
not baby. Like, not baby.
Yeah, not baby. Right, yeah.
But some of these lower level rapping niggas.
I know, but I want to emphasize that these are not $500 watches on, you know, that they're getting out of the back of a store. They're still paying $10,000.
Oh, you mean high quality knockoff type?
Yes, they're still paying tens of thousands of dollars. And some of them, because if you go to the fake watch buster account, whatever that Twitter. Like those nautical joints are flooded, and even Chloe Bailey has one. You can't tell me Chloe Bailey knew she bought a fake watch. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so that I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, I think what we talked about. So just to give some idea on the watch, and again, I know a little bit about a little bit. I don't know a lot about a lot, but when you purchase these watches, you go to an authorized dealer, okay? An authorized dealer will sell the watch at MSRP, which is the suggested retail of what the manufacturer is saying you have to sell it at. So when you go to a real spot, they're not selling you over what the suggested is.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in this case is that you have 700 pieces of this watch made, which is actually not, that's not a small amount, right? Like it's a pretty decent amount. On average, I've seen that watch going for like $600,000.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the models that they discontinued, correct?
Well, it's a 40th anniversary watch, right? Okay. So it comes out in 2018. So often what happens is that the dealers, the authorized dealers will deal with people. They will put people on the list that are continued and repeat customers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you never go through this process, you never actually get on that list to get those retails. So, for example, there's a watch that is not the 40th anniversary, but it's a Nautilus. That Nautilus is going for about $60,000 on fair market value, right? But at the dealer, it's like 26 grand. Homeboy from what's the guy from Shark Tank? The bald guy. One of the guys from Shark Tank. The bald headed, the older gentleman.
Yeah. I need like,
Damon like, something.
Yes. No,
not
Damon.
No, not Damon. The white man.
Yes. So he was like super hype because he got it at retail.
Wow.
So he waited. You know what I'm saying? A friend of mine had gotten a very popular watch. Because he's on the list with the guy. The guy calls him, says, yo, I got this watch. It, you know, the MSRP is 12 on a watch. It's going for 18 on the market. And he did one, two, boom transactions and walks away with $6,000 in his pocket. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just, it's, they're also secondary markets.
Yes.
So there are people who buy from authorized dealers, and the distinction is you will see that a watch will say new or a watch will say never worn. A secondary dealer cannot say it's a new watch because, like much like a car, there has been a transaction. The paperwork has changed hands.
Yeah.
It is not a new watch. You can list it as unworn.
Ah, interesting.
You know what I'm saying? So there's okay. these small and slight distinctions. And also, guys tend to take advantage. And because they get so much aftermarket work done to these watches, they don't take them to get service. The surefire way to know if your shit is real is to take it in for service.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because they're not touching your shit. If there's anything aftermarket on these watches, they are all about their brand. Patek, Vacheron,
Rolly,
Audemars.
Yeah.
And those brands are the big three. They are not fucking with their brand.
So as soon as you flood it with a bunch of diamonds or whatever,
You've turned it to garbage.
Yeah, you turned it to garbage.
So,
like Jay said, them ain't Rolex diamonds. What the hell you done to that?
Yes. Yes. They will absolutely say, we're not even going to open this watch. So,
yeah.
What it really goes to show you is that a lot of times you take what you think you're getting a deal on. So if a watch is going for 600 grand on the fair market value, what makes you think you're going to get it for four?
Yeah. Because he thought he had the plug, he thought he had the hookup.
The guy's selling you a $250,000 Ferrari for $110,000.
Why?
You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of these jewelers, they tend to make the rounds, and the jeweler apparently gave the money back, right?
Yeah.
Because he says he didn't know. He unwittingly sold this, which again is like, I mean, did you though?
Yeah, really?
Because how'd you get it? Right?
Yeah, if that watch buster's account on Instagram hadn't said anything, if that in the court baby wearing it and posted it, I don't know if that guy would have gave the 400 racks back. He would have been like, hey.
And that's the thing, right? He gives the 400 racks back because what it does is it keeps it keeps him happy, but it also keeps it keeps the train going. The gravy train. Because he's really making his bread. You know what I'm saying? He's really making his long bread off the $20,000 purchases, the $30,000. Mm-hmm. Purchases. Those are the guys keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
So a lot of these jewelers, I've always been fascinated by that. Jeweler shows up at your house with a briefcase with shit in it. What insurance company does this nigga have that's allowing him to just roam aimlessly with this level of jewelry on him? You know what I'm saying? So
I think that's part of the thing too, right? It's like you feel like he's supposed to have, like, since the days of Jacob and stuff like that, you feel like there's supposed to be somebody who's rolling into the studio. They're going to come to you. You don't have to come to them. You got a guy, right?
Yeah.
And having a guy when you don't have the eye yet, because, again, these are imitations. And the fake, when you look at the fake watch Buster account and they do the side-by-sides, you might say to yourself, oh, I can see that difference. But you have to remember, these are zoomed in and they're pictures that they're taking from like Instagram captions, mm-hmm. like product pictures. But in person, unless you're like an expert, you're not seeing that. They're damn near one-to-one. Yeah. So when you got a guy that comes to the crib, the same thing with diamonds, all of that jewelry, like you have to really know your shit before you start and establish that you have somebody who's giving you like the right shit before you just say, I'm gonna buy from my guy. I have a guy, I have a person. You just have to make sure you know what
you're doing. And just like with anything that is particularly difficult to get, if you are not going through the proper channels, you're probably not buying the real thing.
Right, yeah.
You're not getting the Bugatti on Hillside Avenue. Exactly. I don't care what the body looks like.
Yeah, it's right? not that. Right? Yeah, you got a Honda engine in there, fam.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you have to go through the process. Even the reason that rich folks get that access is because they're repeat customers, exactly. Because they constantly go. So their guy is the authorized dealer at a place like Tourneau, at mm-hmm. a place like Wimpy. Mm-hmm. At a place like, or an authorized dealer, they call up. Look, I want to get one of these, and that's the thing. You know, there only but so many of these watches made. So when I see 1,000 of them at a party, I'm like, so where are all the rest of them? Like,
yeah,
I know there's a Prince somewhere.
There's,
in Saudi
a, bu- yeah, there's a bunch of Europeans somewhere who got
exactly because right. I'm seeing. I saw 27 Audemars in this little raggedy ass club. Yeah, no, it's not.
Right.
19 of them ain't reals, at least. I just thought it was interesting. Interesting. Okay, I mean, you know, God bless baby, got his bread back, like Sean said, and got like some rings or something as a kind of like consolation prize for fucking them off.
And honestly. Honestly, man, he should have told him to fuck off. He should have told him.
The ring probably
fake too. I'd have told him to keep. I mean, yeah, he making nice, and I get all of that, but you know, yeah, I'd have told him to fuck out of it.
Let's keep it. I would have kept it pushing too, and just start going to a real dealer, nigga. Just go to the real dealer, and you know, and now you got the insurance and all that other shit. Let's mention. I want to mention this Philippe robbery. So it's a very popular restaurant here in New York City called Philippe Chow. Now, I think he's the brother of Mr. Chow, correct?
I'm not sure. It's all in the same family. I think there's a Philippe in L.A. too. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's Mr. Chow's brother, I think. Okay. But they're definitely the same family. Serve a lot of a similar food. I think Philippe is a little cheaper price-wise.
Yeah, it's a little... downscale,
yeah,
and the menu, like the menu is basically any kind of like a upscale Chinese restaurant,
mm-hmm.
But like Asian American fusion.
Not even that. Like it's like fancy. Mm. It's fancy Chinese.
Food. That's really, it's $65 beef and broccoli.
it's fucking delicious.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, the food's great.
But yeah,
I hope so.
Disappointed.
You're not gonna be mad.
Oh yeah, it's good.
The first and only actually Midtown restaurant I've been to since the pandemic was Philippe. I went on my birthday for lunch and ran up a $500 bill because I missed it so much.
Yeah.
Well, because for us it was near our offices when we were at Sony.
Yeah, it's right up the block.
I hadn't been. I was like, y'all, I want. They have a chicken satay, which I know niggas now love chicken satay, but Philippe had. I've never had a chicken satay like that.
Mm.
But it's like, yeah, so whereas the slightly up brand Mr. Chow is some shit where like they might just bring your shit to the table.
Oh, they do. Like they yeah, like especially you just, if you go into the room downstairs, they just bring
yeah,
food.
They're just bringing you food.
No prices until
no
the bill
prices.
Comes.
They just bringing it to you and then the bill comes at the end of the night.
And exactly. And it'll be $10,000
something.
Right. Let me stay over here in my tax bracket.
They'll be like, do you like this? Do you not like that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And all of a sudden
shit just starts showing up. It's just showing up. It's like, damn. Okay. Yeah, your mochi is that taste up. This is boom, boom, boom. You said then the bill comes. But that was back in the day when everybody had a corporate card and okay, so it wasn't paying out your pocket. Anyway. So Philippe is on Madison and 60th Street, which is a very high-end area in New York City. It's basically kind of like New York's Rodeo Drive-ish type of area. A lot of high-end stores and whatnot. Retails right around the corner from Park Avenue is the next block over. Very high-end area. And so last week, two cats rolled up, and I've read that apparently there was a third cat who was in the restaurant who was scouting.
Scoping.
He called him and said, yeah, your man over there got the rolly on. Your man over there got the so-and-so. Because people were eating outside, of course, because of the pandemic. And, you know, the weather still was good. So two cats just jump out of a Benz SUV, just roll up outside. Apparently they robbed the first guy. They robbed the first guy, took his rolly, like pulled the jammy out on him. He just gave up the rolly. No problem. Like, yo, you got that. Then they rode up on a black cat. I don't know what he had that they wanted, but he had something that they wanted. The black cat fought back, though. He was like, nah, fuck that. Nah, you are not robbing me out here. So he starts fighting with them, tussling with them. He gets shot in the leg, mad blood. The two guys jump in the SUV and bounce. And to this day, haven't been caught yet. Now, I did a little bit of kind of research, and apparently this squad had done this at another high-end Asian restaurant Tao in August. They right. cost
like
people.
Which is like two blocks over from Philippe.
Yeah, exactly. The same area. They ran up on the same thing. People were coming out of Tao, but I guess somebody must have been inside scoping, same shit. Came outside, and apparently they robbed somebody of like $4 million in jewelry. So they caught somebody.
Why are you in Tao with $4 million in jewelry on?
because, you know, it's the hot spot. And I don't know, but they caught somebody with four S. This is in the newspaper. This is public record. It caught somebody with four. We got 4 M of jewels from the people that they robbed there. So I guess
I'm just going to say this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That person probably listed every piece of jewelry they own to that fucking insurance
company. I got to have it.
I just had.
That's why I'm imagine being in town with $4 million in jewelry.
Everything I have on that I own that is on this policy, I had it on that day.
I was stunting.
I had my wife's wedding band on. Pinky ring.
My wife earrings on.
Grandma's pearls on.
All that. I was wearing my wife's fur coat because it was a little chilly. So the Black Eyed survived. Nobody died, fortunately. It's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw, but they interviewed the cat's mom, the Black Cat's mom. She's like living in the projects, and she was like, "I raised 9 kids. Ain't none of my kids punks. I knew he was gonna fight back.
I know that's right."
She's like, "He ain't having it. My son ain't gonna take it lying down. My son ain't gonna just give up his stuff. I knew he wouldn't do that." But yeah, I mean, you know, but this is just, you know. Again, it's like getting robbed, like in the middle of on Rodeo Drive, in the middle of Beverly Hills or something. It's like the place that you, I guess, would let your guard down the most.
Oh, you know what? I'm kind of surprised it took this long, because the thing is, dining outdoors in the summer has always been a thing in New York, but obviously since the pandemic, it's become way more prevalent, right? Mm-hmm. Restaurants who didn't used to do a robust outdoor dining business do now. And honestly, you get to the point where, you know, you're relaxed and you're comfortable, and you're
especially at Philippe, you're really chilling.
Yeah, you're not really looking at what's going on around you, and also like niggas out here getting bold. And I say niggas is a general term; I just mean people. It's an all-purpose noun. Are getting bold, because I also saw a video where like somebody was trying to snatch a chain off a dude who was literally being held down.
I saw that.
I'm like,
versus girl tried to snatch the chain.
Right. And then
he went after it.
Yanking the hold my man's neck.
Like, and the cop is like standing over the guy, but his back to him. And then
cop is looking like, "What are you doing?"
Did you see the clip of the dude that got robbed? Well, not in the Bronx though.
No.
It was in the Bronx somewhere, raw dog in the Bronx. And he's standing outside on the corner with Balenciaga sneakers on. Mm-hmm. And he goes, like, "Run that." I got the hat. Yeah, it's on video.
It's 1990s.
Yeah, took his chains, took his Balenciaga. I'm like, "Nigga, you standing like on like fucking Webster Avenue and what are you doing, bro?
The thing that, you know, I had skepticism about it being random until, you know, Jeff had mentioned that it was the third person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And which that made sense, because I'm like, yo, basically so, you know, obviously there's streets and avenues.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very tight street.
True.
You're on the east side, which is not a very easy place to kind of get away.
Yeah.
And you're heading east on that street, right? Like, it's not like you're at, you know, on the west side or 10th Avenue where boom.
Jump on the highway.
You at fucking in within 5 minutes, you're in the Bronx. Like, it's not like that on that side of the, you know. So that's what was very strange. But when you said that, it made sense, because I'm like, there's nobody is taking the chance of that to be a humble. Yeah. You're not taking that, but, you know, that has to be a surefire thing. You got to know when you go in there, you going in there for a very specific reason on the street like that. So, yeah, I'm definitely not surprised. The very high spots where people go to kind of like do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of out of borough guys that have been, you know, getting money. Okay. Yeah. And that's what they go do. They go to the city, and, you know, this is what it is. So, yeah, I mean, God bless. I mean, I understand.
Them downtown Cipriani diners, them Cipriani Wall Street folks.
Yeah.
Not Wall Street, but the Cipriani. The main people,
Looking for the Dude, black cat. Looking for the black cat. Two of the diners were doctors, so they get the ones who wrapped his leg up and did all that shit. That's the type of place Philippe is. Like, you're gonna get doctors, lawyers, like that level of person that he had. There was two doctors separately, kind of eating, you know, with their wives or friends or whatever, and they happened to be there, so they were able to kind of help the bleeding and all that, so he didn't, you know, really bleed out.
Hey, man, just you know, get that shit up, man.
Yeah. Second, a very popular restaurant incident we had, which was I guess like 3-4 days ago, whatever, was Carmine's. So Carmine's again is a very popular.
What happened to Carmine's?
Oh, you didn't hear about this? Okay, I'm gonna drop these jewels. So Carmine's is a very popular restaurant in family style Italian restaurant in the city. There's one in Times Square. You know, it's very kind of touristy.
Like an institution.
Yeah, it's been here forever. Like it's people go there to eat. People come from out of, you know, other places. If you come, I gotta go to Carmine's while I'm in New York. They have great food, Italian food.
So much food.
Again, family style. So like, be prepared. Like, don't think that chicken parm is just for you. It's gonna be like, like 9 pieces of chicken on the drink. Right. But again, the food is great. I don't know which location this was at. I think it might have been the one on Broadway. I'm not sure. But anyway, so apparently, like all restaurants are doing now, because it's happened to me a couple times already, they're asking for your vax card.
Yeah, you have all New York restaurants, you have to be vaccinated.
Especially if you're going to eat inside, they ask for the vax card. So the story's a little cloudy, and I've read several stories about it, but it's still a little foggy. But apparently, the women walked up. They had issue because the hostess asked them up for their vax cards. Again, they're from Texas. These are black women now, by the way. They asked them for the vax cards. I think there was a little like, well, why are you asking for my shit? And then I think they met 3 guys earlier, and they were trying to link up with them. And then the guys came. Now, the guys had vax cards. So I think they were New Yorkers. So they got in. They were giving the women a little issue. There's some arguing going on, but the ladies kind of got in, and the woman was walking them. One of the hostesses walking to the table, and one of the hostesses that they were arguing with out front was walking past to walk back outside. Allegedly, and I don't believe this honestly, but allegedly, the black woman from Texas said the woman walked by and said called them niggers. I'm like, in Carmine's? Like,
if that's a Carmine's in Times Square, I'm sorry, B.
We go to Carmine's.
But secondly, like, Carmine's is, and I'm not saying that it being a tourist hotspot like precludes it from having some racist shit going on, but like, I don't believe it. Not there.
I'm just one person.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Racist shit in anybody black having any issue in Carmine's.
Never.
They treat you good. They feed you good.
And this is where we're going in groups now.
Yeah, like, because it's family style. So you're going in there with several people. It ain't like this. You're on a date, but most of the time it's 3, 4, 5 people at the table, and it's, you know, it's a thing. I've never heard anybody have any issue with Carmine. So I'm like, really, and y'all from Texas, so y'all just capping right now, because that's not real. Plus, let's also explain this. The Carmine staff tends to be very diverse.
Yes.
It's not just like a white, it's like black people, white people, Asian people, like, you know, Latinos. Everybody works at Carmine's. It's not like a white place, air quotes. So anyway, so what do you say, Inka?
I mean, could have been called the N-words. I'm just saying that it happens.
No, it definitely happens. So then
I don't put it past any place, especially an Italian place, and that sort of.
It's Italian.
But it's not an Italian place. But like Luigi and them are in there running. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're gonna be like fucking
Mario.
They're gonna be like
It's not that spot. Yeah, it's not that.
It's not Sal's sons from South.
Yeah, exactly. It's Italian food, but it's not. It's very diverse.
Located in Times Square, it's like they get a lot of the theater, you go to Carmine's, whatever, and then
the one uptown, you get a lot of Harlem,
right?
Because it's up on 90 something street, so it's not far from Harlem. So you get a lot of Harlem people coming down to go to Carmine's.
So even though in 2021, and yes, in New York, because I need to emphasize to people that New York is segregated in its own way and racist as fuck.
Yep.
It does not ring true to me, my experience of what it means to work in service in that area, and the people you have to serve and what that restaurant is, that somebody is going, because first of all, if they really want to be discriminatory, like the vax conversation would have got shut down real quick. Is that all this back and forth? Like that was a very easy excuse to get you to fuck up out the restaurant.
True.
But like that whole kind of, she walked past and mumbled niggas under her breath. Yeah, like
it don't sound right.
If somebody gonna call you a nigga in New York, they're gonna call you a nigga out loud. Yeah. It ain't curling all the way over.
It ain't curling all the way over.
Yeah, that's fair. I trust.
There's video of this. You can watch this. You can't hear audio, but you see full video of beginning, middle, and end. So when the woman walks by, one of the black women from Texas turns around and runs after her. And then they start fighting outside the car mines, like a big fight, like a melee, right? A melee. They go on ham and shit. And then like, it's a whole thing. And it's a mess, right? And so the women were arrested. I think they might be out now, but they got a court date on like in October. Now again, remember these women from Texas who are here just visiting. So now they're gonna fuck their whole shit up. Cause even if you either they have to stay way longer than they expected, or they gotta come back.
They gotta come back
for the court date. And who knows, court date don't always end the first one.
Right.
You might have to come 2-3 times. Who knows? So it's a whole thing. And now they add some Black Lives Matter folks, but I wasn't really rocking with them either, like cancel Carmine's, cancel. I'm like, could you please move some? I want to get some chicken parm. You're in the way. Nobody's canceling Carmine's, bro. Stop it. Like you guys are clout chasing right now. And so it's a whole thing. If I'm wrong, I will come on here and say, I will apologize and say I was completely wrong. If it comes out that these women are telling the truth. I don't believe this. I believe they was being messy. And, I do believe the server might have walked past and, like, rolled her eyes or something.
Yeah,
or maybe said something. I believe that. I'm not saying the server was completely innocent. I could believe the server being like, some shit like that. Like, oh, my God. I could believe that.
But I don't believe the server said niggers. Right, because what I also want to point out is that Carmine's is a loud place. Because there's a lot of people in there. And it's cavernous, right? So when you come in, if I remember right, I haven't been in a while, but when you come in, the whole stand... There's like it's like a split level. So the whole stand is on the bottom level. You have to go up some steps.
Well, this whole stand they were fighting on was actually outside.
Okay, so then they went inside.
But
they were inside when this happened.
They were inside when the woman walked past them, but the fight happened back outside.
Well, what I was gonna say is, in Carmine's, if you walk past me and say something under your breath,
it doesn't.
I'm not even trying to say I take the word of white people over black people automatically, because I get it. This just doesn't ring.
It's throwing bold for what Carmine's is.
Yeah. It just, again, don't curl all the way up for me. And like Jeffrey said, if it comes out that I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. This just doesn't feel right. Yeah.
And I'm always on the side of the blacks, but in this case, I'm like, this don't feel right. So we're gonna keep our eyes on that one. Did any of y'all watch the Emmys?
I watched part of it, but I followed the big moments and the wins.
Okay, and there was no black winners except for Michaela, right?
Not in the acting categories.
It was the most nominated, the most diverse nominated class, I think, but no acting awards, no black acting awards, which was.
So Michaela won for writing, I believe, correct?
I think so, for I May Destroy You. Yeah.
Debbie Allen got the Governor's Award for like Lifetime Achievement kind of thing. And I didn't see any other black folks get awards.
There is a black actor. They're non-binary. They're on Hacks with Gene Smart.
Oh, that dude won?
I believe, well.
The gay dude?
They won. They're non-binary. They won.
Okay.
They won.
Okay, this is what time. Because, I'm an old nigga. What does that mean?
They don't identify.
Non-binary means that you don't identify as one of, that you don't identify as either male or female. You don't identify with a binary concept of male or female.
That's why he wore a dress kind of thing. Outfit.
They.
Excuse me.
Their pronouns are they, them.
Yes. Notice how Brun not even talking because he's not even getting involved in this shit. So they.
I don't know what it means, nigga.
I'm lost.
I didn't know they were binary. I also thought they were
Because his character is gay on the show. Their character is gay.
You know what I'm about to say?
The boy character. No. Their character is gay on the shows. Yeah. So I assume.
He's good
on the show, by the way. He's very good.
They're very good on the show.
I'm about to move on this topic. I'm not sure
if they won, but I know they were at least nominated, but I feel like they won. I didn't see the speech or anything, but I feel like they won. I need to look. And apparently RuPaul, who wins something every fucking Emmys, RuPaul, I think, maybe
some record, right?
Won the most Emmys of any person of color or something crazy.
I never knew that.
Yeah, for Drag Race every year.
Dragging them shits up for Drag Race.
Did y'all ever watch Hacks?
Yeah.
I watch Hacks. We love it. Okay, okay. We talked about it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I love that show. That show was incredible. Great.
On the Emmys, Cedric the Entertainer did a great job. I did like to see his clips. Yeah. And I was a little underwhelmed by the fashions.
Yeah, I mean, the fashions for the past couple of years have been underwhelming in general. I feel like people made a little bit of a better effort than I've seen. But everything, Met Gala fashions, Emmys, Grammys, everything's been underwhelming for me. I will say, shout out to Jason Rembert. He put Issa Rae in this beautiful, kind of metal slip dress. It just looked effortless and gorgeous.
She had a grill on, too. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she had a grill.
She had the grill guy.
By the way, Johnny, I guess so. I just know she flew him out when she got married to give a grill to her husband. I was about to say something else and I just blacked out. Shout out to Reggie Hudlin, who EP'd the Emmys.
Oh, he did?
Hudlin.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
So we got Reggie Hudlin on the Emmys. We got Jesse on the Oscars.
And Grammys.
He's not on the Grant. Wait, is he on the Grant?
I think Jesse did the Grammys too this year.
I know he's on the AMAs. Okay, I guess the Grammys.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
My best dress for the Emmys was Chris Sullivan from This Is Us. I don't know if y'all watch it, but he plays Toby. He had on a tiger suit.
I didn't see him.
He looked so, like, it was perfect. All the grooming. He had black fingernails. It was very, like, a little bit of a departure, but the suit fit perfectly, which I thought y'all would appreciate.
Okay. And also, I want to say, I want to give shout out to Sed for doing the skit with his three wives.
Yeah.
That was fly. Just to give them love, like, on the show. And then everybody was on the black side anyway, going super ham over him and Kerry Vaughn linking back up.
Peace to all of them, looking amazing.
Amazing. Dude. All three of them look great. Yeah. Look great.
Did you get an answer from your question? I got an answer. Matter of fact, so
what was the question?
So I posted a picture of Niecy in her look pre-show, and I said, "Y'all be asking for the prayer Sierra prayed. I'm forever asking what Spanx Niecy bought." And it went viral. She reposted it, and a couple of people had actually responded and said the brand that they thought she did, but the brand actually reposted. It's called Angel. Hold on a second. I'm gonna tell y'all before we get off. It's called Angel something. They're black owned.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
And holding everything together.
Yeah, she always looks so, like, smooth, like perfect hourglass.
Yeah.
Her boobs are always very supported.
Very.
She always looks good.
Looks good. And now she's very happy too in her personal life. And you can see it. Like you can see her kind of like.
I thought she looked really happy with her husband.
Niecy never belied anything not good.
Yeah.
For years. If we see her, she got a smile, she skin popping, everything but she looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I want to mention the Gabby Bryan case.
The white girl?
Yeah, the white girl, the Miss Gabby, Well.
What is it, white Petito? What's
Petito? Petito? Yeah, let me look it
up. I'm sorry. So the company is called Shaped by an Angel, black-owned company that is who provides Niecy Nash's support garments. And I will be...
Oh, shit, let me get on Google.
We'll put the link in.
Yeah, not that I need it for these caftans that I've been wearing around.
Yeah, Gabby Pepito.
Okay.
And I forget Brian's last name. Brian, is it Laundry or Loudry or something like that? Brian, Laundry. I think you said Brian Laundry.
He did that shit.
Yeah. So they're a young couple. Gabby's originally from Long Island. I don't know why I said Ohio. Tripping. Long Island. They live in Florida now. And, they lived in Florida. They were taking a cross-country trip. And they apparently were a very volatile couple, just to fuss and fight a lot, fighting each other a lot physically, fight and scrap and yell and scream and argue all the time. On this trip, I think they were in Wyoming, and somebody called the police because they saw them fighting.
They called the police in Wyoming, but
they were driving cross country.
So they were intent. They were meant to be gone for some months.
Yeah. They were just kind of like stop. As a matter of fact, I think they were coming east because
they were outfitting their van to live in the van for the summer.
Yeah, because they were they have clips of them in San Francisco and stuff. So I think they were coming back eastwards anyway. So yeah, they're in Wyoming. They had some big blowout. Gabby, I think she said she had an OCD or something that would cause her to sometimes have, fits and whatnot. And they had, and you can see on the video, because the cops came, interviewed them, and you can see Brian has all these scratches and whatnot on his face. So they definitely were like getting at it. And Gabby's crying and it's a mess. So Gabby disappears.
Well, first, the police separate them.
Yeah.
And for the police, Gabby was considered the aggressor.
Yes.
But Brian did not want to press charges. So the police separate them. I want to say the parents last talked to Gabby shortly after that. And then they saw a post from her. Like, last post was like August 30th or something on her Insta, because, she was documenting all of this as a travel influencer on her very well curated Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And then Brian showed up like the 6th or something like that with the band.
Back in Florida.
Mention what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Or at least, but see, this is the weird part. This is the weird part. The family has very little to say. Because my thing is like, you ain't asking where she was. He ain't say nothing. Like, they make it seem like he never said, she got out here, or we left her here.
Or she went back to Long Island or whatever. Yeah.
They're like, he just came home and ain't say nothing. I'm like,
and we didn't ask no questions. Get the fuck out of here.
That's what happened. So that's the family bullshit. Themselves
looking crazy.
Are very strange. Looking all of crazy. It is very strange. Like, the lack of basic ass, like, we don't even know if homie gave a story of where she was. And the car is registered in her name, but they live together, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, there was no explanation, there was no story, and now all of a sudden he's disappeared.
Yeah, he vanished.
It's now. Like, it's all weird. It's all
It's a very weird, it sounds so cliche, but it is like a movie. You know what I'm saying? So like, and they found her body, so she's deceased. Brian disappeared, hasn't been found yet.
Wait, when did they find her body?
Maybe three days ago.
I think three days ago.
Yeah, they found her. Yeah. So it's confirmed that she's passed. She's dead, and Brian's gone. The family also was like, we don't know where he went. I don't know. He's going
he
one day,
and he wasn't. And they called her family like after like 5 days to be like, we ain't seen him in 5 days. It's like it's all really.
It's like 48 hours, but real life. You know what I'm saying? Like 48 hours.
Very, very odd.
So we still don't know where Brian is, and Gabby is passed away, and the shit's a mess. So there's no end to this story yet. One of the things though that I've tweeted a couple of times is I'm definitely like, God bless Gabby and her family, and I'm very sorry that she's gone. But it also just kind of brings out how over and over again, a young white girl can go missing and it becomes this massive national story.
Bulletin in an FBI.
I mean,
JaBenet Ramsey.
This is a crazy motherfucking story.
No, the story's crazy. I'm not saying it doesn't deserve that, but it came out that there's been 70 indigenous women that have gone missing in that area. That area.
Over the past couple of years.
There's never been a national story, not to mention that how many, you know, Black girls across this country that go missing, and or Latino girls or people of color, and don't get this level of heat. And what happens, I feel like if something even from a person of color, especially a Black woman, gets this close to this, the media starts blaming the woman. Like, well, what did you do to kill you? Get yourself killed. Like Breonna Taylor and all that shit. Like, it's like it was Breonna's fault that she got shot.
I think in fairness, there's some variables here that have added to the fact that this has become such a big story. And, you know, to me, the obvious thing is that, yes, she's a white woman, right? And we all know what that means.
Yeah.
And a young,
it means
a young, attractive, straight white woman, right?
Yes. Blonde hair.
We know what that means, but there's some variables here that I think also added to that. Like, we're talking about someone who is, you know, heavy on social media or has a following, right? Like, there's the weird shit with the parents. There's like dude just kind of popping back up around, you know what I'm saying? So there's some levels to the shit
that made it a little more,
you know, I don't want to say interesting because that sounds very ghoulish. You know, she's dead, right? So I don't want to say that.
But compelling.
But
compelling.
It inspires a certain amount of notoriety. Of
curiosity.
Yeah, because even I thought he was like, I'll be honest, I don't pay that much attention to normal ass missing white people. But eventually I was like, no, wait, what's going on with this story? Because all I knew was that, like, she was missing. He wasn't saying nothing. So I was like, what's... It's kind of like with that mom, which, by the way, I don't know what happened. That mom who fucking came back from vacation and her kids, nobody seen her kids for, like, 9 months or some crazy shit like that. Do y'all remember this?
I don't remember.
I'm like, but I think it was, like, right before shutdown and right at the beginning of shutdown, there was a mom. Yeah,
it came out that the father, like, the kids or something.
There was this crazy line of deaths and all this stuff in their family, and her fucking husband just like went to Hawaii, and they were acting like people were acting like they couldn't go get them from fucking Hawaii, like the U.S. state. Meanwhile, nobody seen their kids since like the previous September. It was craziness.
Well, the husband's locked up, and they've been trying to like lock up the mom, and I think it's been some kind of technicalities. And she's been kind of like, you know, going
a lot
down
of
court.
Technicalities. That yeah. was a, it was mm-hmm. a lot of technicalities.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to seem callous or
but you're right. We know that missing Black and brown,
that's what I'm saying,
girls especially mm-hmm. are more or less invisible. So that point is taken. But what I also want to urge us to be careful of, and of course it's not gonna happen because nuance doesn't exist anymore, is mm-hmm. to not conflate a story that is truly sensational.
It is,
right? Like, this is truly sensational,
and it's still going
and still ongoing and unsolved, with a run-of-the-mill Becky ain't come home, like, you know what I mean? So it's like I just want us to be there's levels. That sounds really contrite to say, but there's levels.
Okay, so I wanted to mention that. Also wanted to mention this horrible, and I don't know enough about it, but you guys kind of fill in my blanks. The Haitian immigration thing, and like I don't understand how so many Haitian and other immigrants ended up in that specific place. I haven't done the research.
It's a little hard to find, but just to chime in, and I saw
let me know.
Friend to the show, Kelly, posted that apparently they had a lot of them had migrated to South America.
They're not coming from Haiti.
They had already left Haiti and had gone and settled in other locations. And because the work is drying up there, they're basically migrating
to America.
They're looking for work.
And that's how they ended up on that border, town.
Because just like any place they go, right, they're going to be outcast and pushed aside the moment that economic times get tough. They're going to be the ones to take the brunt of it, right?
Yeah, you got to go.
Now, part of the, aside from the really, like, to your words, horrific pictures of the chasing and rounding up.
Yeah, and then whipping them with whips and on horseback.
Yeah, on horses.
Overseer shit.
They are deporting them to Haiti.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And again, these people are not coming from Haiti. So it's like you're sending them back. You're sending them to a place where they don't have a home. They might not have a family. And
how does that work with the kids? Because the kids, I saw some people with some very young children who obviously were probably not born in Haiti. So where are those kids citizens of? Because it's not Haiti.
And that's kind of part of the complaint, aside from just like a really inhumane roundup, for lack of a better phrase. The fact that, and they're flying them out like in mass. It's like 4 or 5 planes going out a day, I think, at this, or they're ramping up to that. The fact that they're sending these people to Haiti.
And they don't have nowhere to go. They're just in Haiti now.
Yeah, and it's the same thing that we were complaining about with, the Department of Immigration under Trump, which is you're sending people back to a country that they're not, they may be from ethnically, nationally, but they're not actually from, right? Exactly. And they don't know, they don't have roots in, they don't know anything about, and just kind of leaving, which is really like, again, it feels like a cruelty is the point type
situation. It does. Yeah. It's really fucked up. It's really fucked up. Sidebar on some racism shit. I read this interesting story real quick about the Ku Klux Klan. So, the story says, and it wasn't really trying to whitewash, it says the Klan started, in Tennessee, and it was just a few guys who would, it was almost on some Halloween shit, and they would put on the costumes to just kind of go out and spook people, but they weren't really doing it out of racism, they were just fucking with people. But they noticed that the freed slaves, obviously, were very scared when they saw, motherfuckers on sheets running up on their property. And then that's kind of how it spurned into, like, oh, we could really, like, control and terrorize the newly freed slaves. And that's how it came about. But the story was more about the Ku Klux Klan really started as a Ponzi scheme. Because when this one guy took over, he set it up. So it was a membership fee. There was a fee for this. There was a fee for that. You had to buy your robes. You had to buy your robes from him.
Yeah.
Only from him. You had to recruit other people, and you got a fee if they came in. It was like a whole pot. It wasn't really like it was racism, but it was racism.
But it's indoctrination. I think that's the thing. The thing about the Klan and in any kind of like really fervent groups like that. So this is a great segue, actually, if we're going to talk about TV. There's a doc right now called Lula Rich.
I got that in my queue.
So it's about this. I had never heard of this shit ever.
I have.
Just, of course, because you're on the mommy shit.
Because military wives will sell you anything from their living room.
So it's about this. I'm gonna call it MLM, multi-level, because they're... For the record, there
it is
a difference between multi-level marketing and a Ponzi scheme, in theory, right? Uh-huh. Multi-level marketing is like an Avon. It's where you come up through the ranks and you recruit people beneath you. But multi-level marketing means that you can make money off product sales, no matter how many people you have in your, what they call the downlines, which is those, the org lines as you recruit people under you. So even as you're moving up, you can still make some change if you don't bring any people in under you and you just sell products.
I sell like them, Mary Kay.
Right.
Five but links.
That's like Avon, Mary Kay, Tupper. But for it to be a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, Tupperware. My mother used to do Tupperware parties.
But a Ponzi scheme means that it means that all your money, like your highest earners, it comes from bonuses off recruitment. So if a Ponzi scheme means you're getting paid to get other people to come in and pay in, and you're getting paid off the money they pay to pay in. So there's really no way to get paid off a product. And the reason that's illegal is because once you go down so many people, like you can't expand, but so much, right? Eventually taps out. It's like a susu type shit. So with this company, which was started by a Mormon, which, by the way, all this fucking MLM at home DIY shit, it's
Mormons,
all of them, because the wives are stay at home mothers and they believe in like the ingenuity and the self whatever. They run all this fucking shit. But anyway, they do. It's true. Like if you really look at it, like And a lot of these places have their home base in Salt Lake City. I'm not even trying to be like biased. I don't like. I have issues with the
Mormonism.
Don't say it. Just tell the story.
No. I'm saying I want you to get in trouble. No, I'm not gonna get in trouble. I'm not you. I have issues with the Church of Latter-day Saints. I have issues with the theology. I have issues with the history. That's why.
Oh yeah, because of the racism.
Right, but I also have issues with the theology. So anyway, and how they move. But anyway, so. There's this woman who started this at-home company and started with her doing parties at home. She expands it into this online sales company, but it not online sales company, this individual sales company where originally these women who are part of it, they throw parties at home and sell product for cash or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is also happening right as Facebook Lives are blowing up. So they're mm-hmm. able to start selling on Facebook Live. Now, first of all, the product is horrendous. It looks terrible.
Original product was like amazing leggings, though.
Yeah,
it was stuff you couldn't get anywhere. Super soft, super durable. Patterns that made sense, but were trendy. Yeah.
But as it started growing and they started mass producing, it became really crazy. So now as they're growing, it was something like 300% growth every couple weeks. Like, it was some insane growth amount that literally was unsustainable. Like, it was impossible.
There were waiting lists for women to
pay in.
And the pay in was the minimum. The minimum was like $2,000 for a pay in.
And even while you were on the waiting list, they had you do shit. It was like pre-pledging. They had you do shit mm-hmm. while you were on the waiting list, or you could come on a cruise to maybe get picked in a lottery to skip the wait list. Like, the ways they were making money was insane. So anyway, I put this out there to say, like, it's the same kind of thing. They drive recruit, like when you watch the NXIVM doc or you watch this or you watch anything, the difference between the kind of like Ponzi scheme and the cult shit, and it's all indoctrination, right? Mm-hmm. It's all like, you need to live this lifestyle.
Yeah.
They're giving you certain words. They give you certain verbiage.
You only kind of fuck with each other. You don't fuck with outsiders. You
fuck with each other. Mm-hmm. And eventually with this company, they start sliding in a little LDS shit, right? So it's supposed to be to empower women. But then eventually they're like, you need to retire your husband. You need to let him take over your business. You need to let him do whatever. You need to actually go get weight loss surgery. You need to be posting all the time to let people know you're making money. You need to be getting your hair done and your da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it's all about, and it was the same thing, like if somebody left the org, they were excommunicated, you weren't to talk to them. You couldn't have any contact with them. So all this shit is, so going back to your point about the Klan, what you're saying is, yeah, it might've started as a Ponzi scheme, but all of it is about indoctrination. It's, you need to commit yourself fully and wholly to this. You need to believe that this is the only right way. You need to be willing to give everything to us. Like, convince us that you're part of us by spending your money with us, only buying from us. You can only do these things with us. You can only do, and people get so slowly programmed into that shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even think they realize it. So you're not even necessarily buying into core beliefs or values. It's just a matter of you belong to this greater
to this group.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. It was. I mean, obviously, like, you know, racism, you know, became the key, but like, it was just. I didn't know about the Ponzi part. I forget the guy's name, but like, he set it up. So like, all the money was just kind of going in a circle and everybody had to pay in, and he became like this super rich dude, you know? And then they lost a lot of members, and then it kicked back in again in the '30s and the '40s and whatever, but it was interesting. But I want to end with, obviously with, Jermaine and Puffy. Got to talk about that. So, when was that? Like the weekend, correct? Right. The Fat Joe hosted a live as he does. He hosts.
Well, it started before that. No, we got to go back. Did we?
It did start. But it started. The initial spark of this did start before.
It started after. It started
way back.
Well, last year people were definitely speculating wanting Puff and JD. I even said it, but it was a question of like, how would that work because of the disparity in their production styles. I'm gonna say it like that.
Yeah. And then remember, Trackmasters is also in that mix a little bit, yeah, but they kind of inserted. They inserted themselves.
Yeah.
The Stout inserted them into the mix too. No, it shouldn't be. It should be.
And at one point, I think that at one point, Swizz and Tim, and I'm talking shit here, but this is my situation. Early in Versus, JD and Dallas did a live to talk about their songwriting techniques, right? So they went back and forth. They played songs, but they were telling stories.
Yeah, I remember that. That was actually great.
But mm-hmm. I think Swizz and Tim took it away because it was early in Versus. It was like during the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were saying little stuff about people trying to like bite it, copy it. And I saw several people be like, well, that's fucked up. Why would they not just do a Versus? And I watched it. I was like, it wasn't a Versus. It was no. dope. It was very different.
And Jermaine and Dallas are so close. It would right. be, I think it would be tough for them to battle because they genuinely love each other. And Jermaine reveres Dallas. Like he's yeah. like, well, Dallas bought the house. I bought the same type of house. Dallas right. bought a car. I bought, like, he reveres this. So I don't, they're too close to kind of battle. Yeah.
But you know, people didn't watch it. It was a very different thing. And the guys both said on there that this didn't preclude them from any Verses. They weren't trying to do anything mm-hmm. to, but I think Tim and Swizz felt away because I didn't hear Jermaine's name come up again. Now, Puffy has been saying he wanted Dre. Dre is the Versus white whale. They almost had Dre back when it was still just IG and Dre, and then Teddy happened and Dre was like, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think Dre is ever going to do Versus. He's ever. Not never. And I always thought it was weird when people were like, the only person Dre can go up against is Puff. Because I was like, bring Primo back for Dre. Like, I don't.
The styles don't matter. The styles are too far apart. They're so different.
And that's the thing, right? Like, and this is what frustrates me about the Versus conversations. And I have to kind of chill a little bit because I really be like, y'all don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But their styles are so different. Their approach is so different. And Dre is I'm building this from the bottom up producer. Puffy is not. Right? Mm-hmm. Puffy is a producer. Don't get me wrong. This is no shots at Puff. Puff is ultimately the person who's like, add this, take that away, nah, turn that down, I want this, do it this way, I want to sound like this. He is still producing. Puff is not putting the actual beats and sounds and everything together, though. Like, he's telling everybody else what to do. Mm-hmm. But it's still production. Which is still
mm-hmm. yes,
you know, it's still production. So... it's a different kind because I know people be like, oh, he came in and pushed the button. It's not that simple, right? But Bad Boy is a little more convoluted in that it'd be six people on production credits, you know, whatever have you.
Yeah.
So at the Joe Ja Versus, JD posted a picture of himself outside the garden and basically issued a call out to Puff.
Mm-hmm.
Puff responded and was like, I love you, you're my brother. But your hands are too short to box with God. Only Dre can see me in the ring. Now, here's why that was disrespectful. Dre and while Puff may have some bigger cultural monsters, Dre, let's not act like JD does not have them, right?
Yeah, he's acting like JD's like a little nigga. Like, yeah.
First of all, they both started in the game at the same time. They both founded their labels at the same time, right? As Jermaine pointed out, not that Versus is about sales, but as Jermaine pointed out, like, how many diamond albums you got, nigga? And Puff was stuck. And he was like, well, you sold more records, but I made more money. Like, you know,
money is definitely not the issue here.
JD was like, you sell liquor, I sell music. But, you know, So Def, there is not a So Def artist, not even them franchise boys who did not cross over. Not, and like, Bone Crusher is the only one who didn't at least crack top 20, right? So it's
but that
like
that song is still around though.
Yeah,
I'm never scared. It still goes. You
so
know?
I don't know. It's the same way people be acting like Escape with some motherfucking chicks on the corner who was signed on the indie. Like, I don't know what it is with niggas in revisionist history. I really don't. And also,
you know, I know what it is.
They weren't outside.
They weren't outside, and it's interesting because. It's very interesting you say that because I went to brunch with Rabia and Susan Sunday, and we went to Boulevard, Peace to Boulevard.
Y'all really got like a little, Rabia's my sister for those of them. Y'all really got like a little brunch club, huh?
Yeah, well, this is only the second, but we're going to do it again.
Okay.
And Peace to Boulevard, it was popping. They had a DJ in there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting because some records came on that were, you know, kind of Southern records. And Rabia and Susan, you know, didn't know them. They were like, what's this? And I'm like, you don't know, bro. Because, so I've also realized there is a kind of Mason-Dixon thing where there's a lot of people who don't realize how big some of Jermaine's records were if you weren't spending any time in the South. You don't.
You grew up, so you know.
But if somebody who's from like Philly or Harlem,
but even the stuff he was doing, like when we got to them franchise boys, like that's the 2000s by the time we get
right? And I know that's so, what's it called, 106 and all that stuff. But still, I think if you weren't in that, spending any time in that zone in those clubs,
or I guess in a younger demo,
to see those records like Ghost Town DJs, to see those records work. Right. You might not kind of get how big they really were. Go ahead, bro.
I also think that there's such a huge transplant, and because Atlanta becomes it's really a college town. Like there's so many schools there that's a part of your he was really the soundtrack for coming of age in a city that had so many transplants that then branched out back to their, you know, locations, right? So, yes, he definitely had, he had a stranglehold nationally in a way that maybe the coastal cities of New York and L.A. don't really appreciate because they don't really participate in that.
That's true. Yeah. And also, I think, you know, but I think there is also, like, some revisionist history. Like, for example, Bal be clowning now, but Bal was Mr. 106 in Park for a goddamn reason. You know what I'm saying? Like there was a streak. There was a, like, the Bal's last album on Columbia was the first album where he missed. Like before that, it was just
hit.
And one album where he missed, right? And that nigga's whole shit changed because the sound of hip hop was also changing right at that time. So, but also even taking that out of the equation, you know, Usher's best-selling album, Mariah's best-selling album, like, that's Jermaine. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, when Puffy was like, I could, you know, get you with Mary alone. I'm like, nigga, you an EP on one Mary album. Two,
but the other one was what's later. You remember that album later? That didn't work.
Yeah, EP on one. And like, you know, so it's like, can you really, you produced one Jodeci song, like, so it's, you know,
and that showed up, remember, because when he played Real Love, Jermaine was like
you produced that. Jermaine's people in the comments like, this ain't the A&R versus, but even with the fans, but the important thing about that is that even when the fans think of Puff, they think Jodeci and Mary, and I'm like, that ain't even Bad Boy. That's Uptown. You know what I'm saying?
That's Andre.
So it's technicality. I see you, Inc. I'm gonna get to you. Give me just one second. On Friday, finally, Joe and Snoop are on. Joey, who is very much enjoying his role as Versus Ambassador. Joey and Snoop are on. They get Jermaine on. They get Puff on. Yes. Now, a couple of things about this live that were interesting. And I think people didn't really see what's going on. And maybe you have to know. But even people who know Puff act like they didn't see what's going on. So a couple things. The first thing was Puff was playing records on the spot. Mm-hmm. And Puff was like, let's go. Jermaine wouldn't play shit. He would not play shit. And people were taking that to say, Jermaine's scared. He's not ready. No, what Jermaine knew was that him and Puff would have traded like 5 songs. And Puff would have been like, that was a battle. That was it. We did it. We don't have to do it. He even said that because I said it to myself, and then he said it at the end. He was like, y'all know what that was, because Puff wasn't saying, let's give him a taste.
He was like, let's go record for record. Yeah.
He was like, Versus don't run me. Let's do it right now. And the thing is that I think even Snoop said late, like the fact that Puff keeps saying, get me Dre, when he knows Dre is not going to do it, means Puff don't want it. And Jermaine can, the thing about Jermaine and Puff, the reason they're so well matched, aside from the timing, aside from the fact that, like, I don't know any two people, aside from Trackmasters definitely can't go in there, but Tone and Polk, they're not
personalities.
They have
some shit though. They're a little rubber.
But But JD and Puff are both personalities, right? Yeah. Like JD can match him ad lib for ad lib, motherfucking artist.
Dancing.
Artist dancing, you know, on the artist side, on the producer side, on the feature side, on the remix side, right? And you know, JD is almost deeper in it. Like only one of them is in the Songwriter Hall of Fame. It's not Puffy. I'm just saying, you know, so it's like, and he can get in his head. So by the time Puff got off that live, Puff was mad for real. Like Puffy's name is Puffy for a reason.
Plus his Wi-Fi was janky.
Yeah. He was on the Teddy Riley shit. So it's like, but I was with Jermaine. Jermaine was like, if we gonna do this, I wanna do this. Yeah. Like, I wanna do this. He was like, this nigga wanna go back and forth, this janky ass Wi-Fi. I wanna curate the list. I wanna do it. And I'm with that. So I think that people, but we see this with every versus conversation. I'm just like, how are y'all at this stage in the game? Because people be like, but Puffy's got all the Biggie records. And it's like, we'll say, I doubt they would be limited to 20 rounds, but it's best of whatever, right? So it's not, you're not going to just play 12 Biggie tracks. You're not going to just play, you know,
12 Biggie tracks and then 8 Mary tracks and be like, I'm Gucci.
And be like, I'm done. And Puff is a party nigga. People be like, JD can't match the hard hip hop. Puff is like, he is like, take his from the 80s, make him sound so crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing about the Hitmen is that they made pop songs. Like, what are y'all talking about? Yeah,
they
y'all just
records.
Thinking about Biggie and even the Locks.
And Biggie shit was crossover. I mean,
half of Biggie shit was crossover.
Here's my thing. Go ahead. We haven't seen a spontaneous sort of moment with these artists going back and forth since the very beginning when Versus was first taken off. There was an opportunity there for the culture, for fans to see you play a record.
And but we never would have gotten an actual match ever. It would not have happened.
But so now we
would have had
two opportunities.
No,
we had, listen,
the match is happening.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Listen to me. There was an energy there where there could have been a back and forth, but everything that JD was saying was sounding like whining to me. Puff was there in like a party spirit, janky Wi-Fi and all, because he was outside, probably in Miami or some shit, or LA, one of them houses, and his Wi-Fi wasn't reaching. Like, we get that. But there was a ton of jokes, and they were all at JD's expense because it felt like he was weaseling out of a thing that could have happened at that moment.
You know them. Yeah,
and y'all know them. None of us know these niggas.
I get that.
I've not met JD.
So when you say whining, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say whining?
It just felt like every time Puff would play a record, he'd be like, "Man, no, we just gonna do it this way. When I'm like, you're sitting in front of a control board, play one record. Let's just, even if y'all just go back and forth for 30 minutes, this is going to be a great thing that somebody can say, I caught that when it happened. And then let's bring the energy to Versus again later. We weren't asking for a full show.
Jermaine played Mariah, though. He did play one.
Yeah, and after people are in the chat like 30 minutes calling him a pussy. Yeah,
but here's
this is why.
But here's the thing. And I think what happened was a lot of people dropped off after Puff got off. But like I said, Jermaine actually told. But first of all, Jermaine did two things, because he called the first time Puff dropped off, because he dropped off once and got back on. The first time Puff dropped off, and I don't know if people caught this, because first of all, the jokes weren't really at Jermaine's expense. There were jokes. Snoop
in
was
in the neutral. Chat though. Snoop was neutral for sure, but like
There was a lot of back and forth in the chat that I was watching. But because a lot of people were like, Puff, knock it off, but the first time Puff dropped off, Jermaine's, you know, Joe was like, oh, come on, Jermaine. It took us a lot to get Puff on here. And Jermaine was like, what we not going to do is this whole, it's hard to draw Puffy out thing. We're not going to act like Puff Daddy ain't Puff Daddy. This is what the fuck he's supposed to do. He was like, all this not answering shit. He was like, that's another nigga. That was something that he was saying between people who know each other, right? To say, but y'all not going to act like Puff is in this fucking Hightower, we got to kowtow to him. Because what I found ironic was that Puff was saying, Versus don't run me. Versus ain't going to tell me what to do. But then literally turn around and saying, Joe Snoop, I can't believe y'all not making him play a record. Like, it can't go both ways, right? So that was A. Then when Puff got off for real, Jermaine this says to them. He was like, y'all know what he's doing. He was like, if we had played records now in his, on his janky Wi-Fi, there would he would have said that was it. We would have never gotten
right. That's not a thing that JD was properly. Articulating
yeah.
when it was happening. He was just saying no, no, no. And no, not really.
The people deserve to have it the right way. I heard
and
that.
We totally get that. But like, when nobody trying to hear that shit, when the whole atmosphere is Joe's laughing hysterically, Snoop's laughing hysterically, Diddy is dancing around like Diddy does, and Jermaine is looking like somebody took his ball on the playground. The energy didn't right. match for me.
I
and
was
it made me not want to root for that nigga. It's all
bro, what you think? What you think, bro?
I think all these niggas are just showing out.
I knew, bro.
I ain't studying none of them niggas.
I knew that nigga was close.
That nigga, them niggas trying to drive the price up. I know this game.
Yesterday's price.
I seen this movie, and I know how it ends. At some point, you're going to get puffy out here, because you know why? Because the fucking lights are on, okay? Mm-hmm. And if there's ever a time where you're going to get Sean Combs out the house, nigga, is when the lights is on.
True.
Okay?
True.
So
and the people are there.
It. Yes, he will do it, and it's going to be when he recognizes, and when maybe Dre just has to call him and say, my nigga, I'm never doing this.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll just eventually recognize that he's going to say, I'm not doing this. But for me, I'm not very interested in it. I mean, mostly because, not because I don't think that they have the records, but because knowing definitely a little bit about both of them, like, this is going to be a spectacle. They yeah, are not.
Yeah, it's going to be a concert.
Nothing.
But
nothing,
that's why I want it, because it's going to be it's going to be extra and a party and a production, and it's going to be fun. That's all.
Buffa's talking about. Let's do me and Dre in the Rose Bowl. I'm like, that's a lot.
No, they so listen.
I mean, like, they could do that, but you know,
them being at the Georgia Dome, like them being at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, like, it's not out of the question.
Absolutely not.
It's like,
no,
that
no.
can happen.
You know, it's a kind of one of those type of spaces, Georgia Dome, Madison Square Garden. But those are the kind of places that you kind of could do it at, because a lot of people are going to come out. You couldn't do it at some club. You know what I'm saying? That shit would be chaotic. You said this is happening?
I've heard allegedly. I know for a fact that Versus is working.
They're talking.
Hard to make it happen, because the other thing about Puff and JD is a match. I think this is the other thing where you want to talk about Inca, the energy and whatever. What people are missing when they're talking about this match is that if we're talking about Versus as a celebration, Puff and Jermaine are perfect for each other, because they share so many mutual featured artists mm-hmm. and collaborators, right?
I agree.
So Versus is also working on, and that was why I wanted, I don't want Puff and Dre, because it's going to turn into
East Coast, West Coast.
A revision, right. Yeah, a revisit of East Coast, West Coast, and there's going to be a whole moment about Pac and Biggie and the peace yeah. and the brotherhood, and fuck all, I don't care about that shit.
I don't really want to see that.
Party.
Honestly, I don't even think it's going to be about all that peace shit. I think it's going to reopen old.
It could get ugly.
And open old scabs, okay? Because niggas still feel a way about.
On both sides.
On both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm good. I would like to leave that scab and put some fucking Neosporin on it. Like,
some Bactine on it and keep pushing.
Yeah, I'm good. I am good.
Yeah.
I think, though, the other thing that people don't realize about Puff, no matter how many stories they hear about Puff, like I said this already, but when Puff got off that live on Friday, he was mad.
Oh, yeah. He was tight.
And Jermaine,
disrespected.
Jermaine can get under his skin in a way that not many people can.
Well, yeah,
I'm telling you.
Go ahead, bro. No, I was gonna say, because he wants to be a part of that fraternity. That, like JD said, like, you can't buy this.
Yeah,
like, there's no contribution, there's no connection, there's nothing you can do other than showing these billboards and showing these writing credits that's gonna get you in this space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
doesn't have no friends no more, basically.
That and ultimately, what JD is saying is like my nigga, like, you really ain't got it, like how maybe you think you got it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
talking about what you're not gonna do.
When Puff played Real Love and Jermaine called that shit out, Puff was mad as fuck.
Puff was mad as fuck.
He was mad as fuck.
When Puff tried to sign Usher and Jermaine was like, but we sold 10 million albums. How many diamond albums you got? Puff's whole face
froze up.
And
Puff started getting more and more aggressive. Like, yeah, as it went on. Like,
Puff was like, I'll choke the shit out you. I was like, Puff is here. Puff is here. Yeah,
he's tight.
Like, jokes was done at that point, right? And as soon as he was like, you sold more records, but nigga, who got more money? I was like, oh, he mad.
Here we go. But
I also believe that's why he doesn't really want to do this on a stage, because Puff is incapable of controlling his temper. His ego is too fragile. It's like what we were talking about, if it was Kevin Hart and Cat Williams, right? Like, JD is an egomaniac too, but he can do a little bit more self-depreciation. And he has some shit he can laud over Puff. Like, frankly,
it's Songwriter of the Year, or Songwriter Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Yeah, shit like album that.
Sales,
yeah.
All of that shit. You know, like, he can tout that. And Puff can answer that with the culture, sure. But then Jermaine can go to, but nigga, that's your fashion, that's your drink.
Yeah, that's your alcohol, like, and all that. Yeah.
In the studio, yeah.
So, we're gonna see how it goes.
I think it may happen. I want it because it's going to be highly entertaining. Some people were saying that Dre doesn't have enough R&B to go against.
That's Puff. Ridiculous.
Dre's shit is melodic. I think Dre can get the match. I think he could make it work musically. It's not ideal. But Dre is not fun. Like,
yeah, Dre is heavy. Like, yeah. NWA is one of my favorite groups ever. But like, at a Versus, that's a lot.
But also, Dre ain't bopping.
Oh, you mean himself? Yeah, himself. Yeah. He's not he ain't gonna be dancing and shit on
the
stage and all that.
It's gonna be way too mismatched. Unless Dre brings Snoop with him to let Snoop be his fucking, you know.
Which he definitely would.
He has to, for sure.
The energy would be too mismatched. And that's the other thing. Like, Jermaine matches everything with this nigga.
Yeah.
It would be delightful. It would be delightful.
It'd be fun.
I hope it happens personally. Yeah. But
I hope so too.
But people acting like Puff will wash Jermaine.
No, Jermaine
would win.
And no washing going on either side.
Depending on strategy, ain't no washing.
Ain't no washing.
That's not what I've been seeing. I feel like everybody's on JD's side.
Nah, a lot of people wanted the nigga to play a record. Puff will wash this nigga. They'll walk all over this nigga. Yeah. Puff gonna wash this fucker. It's been disgusting.
No.
Which is why I did the whole thing on Twitter, because I was tired of it. Me, as a Bad Boy alum, still like... Y'all need to put some respect on motherfuckers.
Yeah, you got some, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So we're going to wrap it up on that. Oh, wanted to say rest in peace to AJ Johnson from Bath, from Friday, from... What is another big movie he was in? Bath, Friday, something else. Forgive me for forgetting.
I can't remember.
But anyway, passed away at the age of 55, apparently of a heart attack. And, you know, rest in peace to him and his family, you know, peace and blessings to him and his family, you know.
Yeah, man.
I keep saying a lot of these
blacks.
And Sarah Dash.
Remember the Bluebells and LaBelle.
Yeah. And just performed with Patty, I think, pretty recently.
Saturday.
Was that Saturday?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that recent. Yeah.
Her birthday just passed.
Yeah. And she, you know, they sounded great together. And, you know, I mean, these women have known each other for like 65 years. You know what I mean? They know each other like. Way before Patty was Patty LaBelle. I forget Patty's real name, but it's not LaBelle. Like, you know, they know each other from
when Patty goes up yonder, y'all gonna have to carry me out of here.
Oh,
I just want you to know.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a lot of let's not talk about that. So anyway, so blessings to Sarah Dash and her family as well. Patty LaBelle and Nona Hendrix, and I'm sure they're really feeling it right now. And and that's it. We're gonna jump on that note.
We gotta talk about a lot of TV next week, though.
Yeah, because we
missed like a month of TV.
Next week, let's cut off some time to really talk about Love and Marriage Huntsville, because it's turned.
Yeah,
man. All right.
We're gonna take the first 5-8 minutes or so and just get into it, because it's a lot happening.
Peace, Miss Wanda.
Oh my God. Yeah. So on that note, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.